whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. One more hour to go on this Wednesday program that has been fairly nonsensical, if I have to be honest. But a shout out to Intrepid Reporter Jordan on the YouTube, who said 3 hours ago, the Texans posted something with that round the corner stuff. And they absolutely did. 3 hours ago, there is a tweet that has Kamari Lassiter on it. And obviously the date of the Texans versus Chargers game, which is January 11, 2025, 3:30 p.m. Central Time. And the caption, "Hear us round the corner." That's us. So
we're getting inundated.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How about that? All right. Yeah. Getting ready for that game as well. We're still getting to that place. By the way, actually, I realized I probably should give the injury report from yesterday.
Yeah.
Was one of the things that I was saying that I was going to watch for. And one dude in particular I was watching for. Do you remember who that was?
Folu?
Well, I guess for the Texans, yes, there were some guys. I was interested in John Mechie. John Mechie did not participate in practice yesterday. Neither did Danico Autry, Shaq Mason, or Jake Hansen. Danico Autry is practicing today.
Okay.
We've already heard. Mechie is as well. Shaq Mason is not.
Okay.
So we might still be in the place. And I don't know, there are many people that are upset about this probably.
Yeah.
But we might still be in the place with the five that includes Juice Scruggs playing right guard. But the injury report For the visitors, the Chargers, the one that I was really interested in, because remember, Rashawn Slater did not play in Week 18. He was like a late scratch.
Yep.
And so I was very intrigued to see where he started the week at, because Rashawn Slater playing on one side
with
Joe Alt is very different than Joe Alt playing with Trey Pipkins.
Yes.
You know? And as of right now, Rashawn Slater, he was a limited participant, as was Trey Pipkins. They were both in that same place. Rashawn Slater apparently was a knee designation. So whatever that means, maybe you can still get a level of leg up on him, no pun intended, with the pass rush rushing abilities of Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter, depending on who was lined up on what side. But yeah, that I did find that interesting. The only person who did not participate in practice for the Chargers yesterday was Joshua Palmer. But those would be interesting things to see as we go along. As I mentioned, we're getting some things out of practice.
Slater's going to play, though.
Today. I imagine so.
Yeah.
I strongly, especially if he's just limited on the first of the three practices of the week. But elsewhere, going into that game, outside of who plays, how they play and what the schemes and the game plan is are going to be very important. And to that end, right, I think a lot of people would like to see some new wrinkles, particularly offensively. But what are some new wrinkles that you wouldn't mind seeing from this Texas team in this
one? Well, let me ask you that as well. I've got some ideas. So remember last year going into the playoff game, D'Amico Ryans was flat out asked, "Hey, you thinking about traveling Derek Stingley with Amari Cooper?" And Figgy, I know you remember this. He said flat out, "No, that's not something we do."
Yeah.
And then what happened?
He did it.
He traveled.
That's exactly. That man packed his bags.
That's right.
He got his ticket.
Yeah.
Went through security.
Yeah.
And then he traveled.
And literally 3 days after, which is gamesmanship. I'm not blaming, I'm not blaming D'Amico. But things like this happen in, you ready for it? Must win games.
Whoa! Oh, yeah.
Must win.
It is. It is a must-win game. You can use it this week. Feel free to say must-win game.
Oh, buddy, you don't know what you just opened up.
because it is. So we have a very recent example this time last year when they put a new wrinkle in, and it worked. And Derek Stingley was terrific against Cooper that day. So I started... I don't know how much I even want some of these, but I think they're possibilities.
And that's worth considering.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
So let me bounce... Man, I got seven of them.
Let's do it.
How about that?
Actually, you might have six of them. I might have added one of them.
Oh, there you go. You added one. Okay.
Yeah,
so Stingley traveling with Ladd McConkey.
That is interesting because when you talk about wide receivers that you have to be concerned with against this Chargers team, there is one.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Ladd McConkey. One of the names that I brought up, I'm not like I'm novel. There's a lot of people who brought him up, especially after having a big Week 18 game, was Quentin Johnston, the, what is it, second? Third year? Is he already in third year? Wow. receiver out of TCU.
Yeah.
Big, fast, bad hands. Yeah. And so that is kind of limited, not kind of, that is limited his his ability to be productive and dangerous for them. However, when he does catch the football, that is big and fast, right? Like that is a problem. And then I think one of the things that is maybe dangerous about that is that if you're traveling Stingley, you're basically giving up. You're giving up the game in that, hey, we're playing man.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're in man because he's following him. He's going to play
him
in man.
But that's a team that you can maybe get away with it a lot easier.
It does feel like that's the case.
So you in?
I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm in enough to be like, if I see it, I won't be mad.
Yeah. Yeah. How about this one?
I'm nobody's defensive coordinator, so that's one of the issues here.
What about this one as perhaps a new wrinkle that the Texans can unveil in the playoff game? Deontay Johnson returning punts.
Go ahead and sign it up. Like put it in there. Like he's going to be necessary to get going.
Get the ball in his hands.
I don't know if this is like something that you can use as an absolute. This is going to happen because we saw it happen in this other circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a sad day when Tank Dell gets injured. But in that game,
he was good.
You have him looking really good, mm-hmm. and I don't know if it fully starts, but it feels like it was in part because he was getting the ball in his hands and punt situations allowed to kind of get those juices flowing, allowed to get going. And you see all of that kind of break out. You need to be able to utilize your best talents. And if not Deontay Johnson, who else do you have returning?
Well, punts? Robert Woods is going to be a fair catch machine.
Yeah, and
I mean, no, that's not.
Damn,
I mean, no, that's not to be critical.
He can do a little move, a little cut and move.
That's not to be critical. Like he's back there because they don't want to lose the ball, catch the ball, but he's not gonna, you know, put some jelly on you and go, you know, 20, 30 or,
put
or
some
the distance
jelly on you. Okay.
That's one of my favorites.
I see you. No, I mean, no.
I know Robert Woods listening right now. Put that on the bulletin board.
Okay, Lopez said. He's yeah, fair
Lopez
catch,
said.
Fair
yeah.
catch machine.
Don't 6'10" guy said.
Yeah. No, he's gonna make a fair catch. Deontay Johnson.
There's a possibility that he turns it into something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I'm absolutely with that wrinkle in particular. We saw a little bit of that in Week 18, but yeah, man, I would absolutely be in on that. Plus, it just feels like there's more speed, more explosion that's possible there. Yeah, for sure. That I mean, they seemingly had kind of already gotten to that point when they cycled into putting Tank back there. So,
yeah
I like that idea.
How sure. about this as a wrinkle, which maybe already, in fact, probably already has been.
Actually, real quick before we move forward, because we just got this text in from the 832, Robert Woods. They said Bobby Woods, but that's not his name. Robert Woods just had a critical fumble last game. He's had fumbles in three of his last four.
Well, his nickname was Bobby Trees, which he doesn't like.
No.
But so we're not using that.
This but you one, just said it anyway.
I did. Okay. This one already has probably been decided because he's not practicing for the second day in a row. But I think if you win, even moving forward, healthy or not, Shaq Mason is a backup at right guard.
That feels, I mean, yeah. I mean, until proven otherwise, it does feel like that's the way that this one should go. Like, I understand that when he was asked about it earlier today, Nick Casario was like, hey, Shaq has been, you know, Shaq has played well or whatever, but Juice Scruggs, you know, has kind of come in and
with
the necessity or whatever. But it feels like they've done a better job at, like, finding the assignments and getting it done. Now, I don't think that there's the same, it's very obvious that, like, physically, there's not the same heft there. But I don't know that you've been doing such a great job of applying that heft anyways and, like, moving guys. And if that's the case, like, I'd rather have, it feels like Juice Scruggs has more of the mobility to get some of the, like, get some of these blocks at least, or get in between, at the very least, get between the defender and your running back. And that's enough. Like, that feels like that's enough in this instance.
And D'Amico Ryans was very complimentary of Juice.
He was.
In that role as
he
well.
He was.
How about this is maybe a wrinkle? This would be a pretty dramatic one, but not altogether, you know, outrageous. Will Anderson, especially obviously in a passing situation, slide inside to the tackle position and keep Derek Barnett on the field. So you have really good game, coming off a really good game, but a really good pass rusher in Derek Barnett. Will Anderson, a pass rusher from anywhere on the field. That's a position, by the way, that he, you know, he played oftentimes at Alabama. And then of course, Daniil Hunter on the other end. What about sliding Will Anderson in?
I mean, I could be sold on it. I'm kind of partial to, hey, man, go ahead and put that strength out there with, you know, on Sean Slater or whatever. Let Will Anderson Jr. go do something special.
Come
out
off the
there.
Edge, too.
Especially because... and
more, I mean, room.
But again, more room to bend that corner. Whoa. but then also, in the moment, I understand.
I know.
But I also, like, you just have so much depth here. Like, D'Amico Autry, if he does indeed go, which, again, he's back at practice, so I think that does bode well for the possibility of him getting his 2 days in, between today or tomorrow and then ultimately playing on Saturday. Like, I do think that Danico Autry is a nice guy to come in on third. Tim Settle's been really good at applying pressure from the middle. So, like, I think that you've got a lot of good things here. If that's a wrinkle that you want to throw, that's cool. I don't think it's absolutely necessary.
Okay. What about Kamari Lassiter in the slot?
I don't love this, but I understand why you would have to do this. And it's not about Kamari Lassiter himself. It's about what that then creates on the outside. Now, I don't love this in a general sense. It's a little bit more manageable or palatable in this sense that, hey, Jeff Okuda on the field, look, love for Jeff Okuda, but it has not looked good. I have palpitations when I see Jeff Okuda out there because I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think that the other team might look up and say, hey, number 11 is the mark.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And what's the mark? You know exactly what the mark is. Like, throw it at him. See what happens over there. And, I mean, the thing that gives me a little bit of solace in this is that who are the other wide receivers that the Chargers have to attack that? If, you know, if you have Ladd McConkey in the slot and you're using Kamari, the only thing I would say is, like, Joshua Palmer is a guy like that. He missed the first day of practice. Mm-hmm. So if he does not play, then, hey, you have even fewer of those guys. But if he does, that feels like that's a dangerous proposition where you have someone like Joshua Palmer against Jeff Okuda that I feel to be susceptible. And now you're really making sure, putting pressure on the idea that, hey, your front four or whatever has to go and get pressure. Otherwise, that feels like a possibility of explosive plays, which is one of the last things you need in a game like this.
I don't mind it as much because of you, not because of them. I mean, right now it's Miles Bryant, man. I mean, that's it. You know, Petrie gone, Ward gone.
Yeah,
and it's more about the Texans.
That's a great point. And if that's the case, when you put it that way, yeah, I'd much rather have Kamari Lassiter on Ladd McConkey than I would
Miles Bryant.
Miles Bryant, with all due respect.
One more, and then I know you have one big, much bigger role by Tegan Quatoriano, who is now active and back. Tegan Quatoriano, maybe even two tight end sets if you really want to establish the run, or at least using him in particular situations. What about Quatoriano? Dalton Schultz can't block.
No, that is true. I feel like, and this is something we've talked about a lot just generally, I'd like to see them spread it out. One of the things I was looking at with this Chargers defense is that they're not, like, great against the run.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you, like, outside the tackles, which, I mean, outside zone, hey, maybe we can make some things happen there, although, you know, the cutback possibility or whatever. Especially, they end up really light in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that recently is because teams are just like, hey, put these wide receivers out here, and then we can go beat you on a lighter box.
Yeah.
But it feels like the way that Bobby Slowick has this run game, oftentimes you have those tight formations when you have wide receivers and tight ends in trying to help block. And I feel like you might be helping load this box back up by doing that. So I kind of maybe want you to spread this out in some ways. But, you know, it does feel like you might have some max protect type situations because for throwing the football. But running the football, I feel like you have the opportunity to, you know, maybe spread out and allow Joe Mixon to see better gaps in against a defense that is going to be inclined to let you have a lighter box at times. One that I thought was interesting, and shout out to John Crumpler. Saw him on Twitter talking about this. That there has been, and let me make sure I get this correct because I don't want to attribute it to him, but attribute it incorrectly. The Falcons, when they played the Chargers, had a great game plan for the Chargers. They held the offense less than 200 total yards. And one of the things that they did was a lot of simulated pressure. This would absolutely be a wrinkle because it feels like with D'Amico's defense, it's a lot of what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
We're just going to make sure that we do what we do to a high level. But pressure.
If it worked.
Right. Pressure on the defense is going to be big. And I do wonder if, like, hey, the idea of simulated pressure, showing blitzes in some ways and getting overloads or what have you.
Yeah.
If you can get an advantage on this very good Chargers offensive line to help this very good defensive line get a gap, get an advantage, and get into the backfield, those are the types of things that you need to try and get at a Justin Herbert that, one, is mobile, but two, has not turned the football over very much. And sometimes it's just a 1-2 turnover difference that can make a huge difference in a game. And so, the possibility of maybe adding some simulated pressure in here to change the game up and shift what the quarterback and the offensive line sees.
I actually think that's a good one. That we could see that. You know, again, I refer you to last year. No, that's not something we do a lot. And then they did it. Well, simulated pressure is not something they do a lot, but they've seen it on the tape. You know, they've watched the game that you just referenced. So maybe we'll see a little bit of that.
Some other things that are coming on from the 832 on the text line. They said, go ahead and start off the game with 80-yard shot to Nico. We talked about it yesterday.
That's not a new wrinkle.
No, it's not. Week 18 last year. There were some people yesterday that was talking about the idea of, hey, man, how are they against explosives? And I went and looked against passes of 20 yards mm-hmm. in the air or more. They're not that great, actually. So I do wonder if you can find ways to get some deep shots in there. That might be something that is a little bit of a wrinkle for this year because it hasn't felt like they've had a lot of opportunities to uncork it, which, I mean, obviously much to the chagrin of C.J. Stroud. And they also talked about, I'd like to see Deontay screens, mixing screens in specific, like creative quick game, middle of the field more. Like middle of the field for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But those screen games, like why have more of those screens not gone to the running back and those types of things? Yeah, getting mixing just kind of just beyond that defensive line, getting the football would be nice if you could execute it well.
Yeah.
But it does seem like they threw like a bubble screen in that Week 18 game. And I don't know that you can extrapolate that, say that this is going to be something that happens to Deontay Johnson. I would be interested in seeing some mm-hmm. of that, maybe early, and if it works or not, you know, you decide on how you proceed, but that might be a good way to get the ball to your playmakers in space and allow them to do things.
I do think we are going to see some new wrinkles. Maybe, obviously, not all these, but something.
Hopefully we see some things that are innovative, imaginative, and ultimately the biggest thing, things that work to help the Texans get a victory on Saturday in a must-win game versus the Los Angeles Chargers. How you feel? You
good? I agree.
Okay, excellent. One. We will add more of these. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we're right about that time where we hand it off to Figgy Fig for the mixtape.
Yeah, fall of a Titan. We got to mourn a fall of a Titan. It's a damn shame what they did to that dog.
All right, that's next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Fig's in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. Hopefully everyone is doing okay. And we got to mourn. We got to mourn right now. Let me get my music.
We're mourning?
Yeah, we got to mourn. A loss of a Titan, man.
Oh, man.
The Tennessee Titans. They're going through it right now, man.
Yeah.
Their fans.
What a shame.
Their fans are going insane. And we could kind of relate to that a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But this is actually getting really sad, man.
Well,
for who?
Yeah, explain yourself.
I'm perfectly fine.
Yeah. I'm feeling all right.
It's actually sad, man, like to see them pretty much jumping out of the boat.
Mm-hmm.
The ship is sinking, and they jumping out this boat, man. So one of the guys that...
They all becoming Vanderbilt fans?
Pretty much, man.
Like, Vanderbilt football is going the right direction.
Yeah, they're looking at the Volunteers at this point. But, well, their season is over, too.
Well, but,
they got a basketball squad.
Oh, yeah.
Lost by 30.
Yeah, I was like, they got their first loss of the season in a big way. So, or was it first loss? But they got lost.
Yeah.
First
loss
of the season, it looked nasty. So even that's going down in a different way, ain't it?
Yeah, so it's looking bad. It's been bad. So their last good year was 2021 when they went 12-5.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, they went 16-35, which led to Mike Vrabel getting fired, and 2 years, 2 years later, Rand Carthon getting fired.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, did you see Rand Carthon on Twitter?
No, what'd he say?
He ain't say nothing, but yesterday evening, he put up a picture of just somebody pointed to themselves, basically like me. So,
yeah,
at least he's got a good humor about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a guy that's on social media a lot, and he liked to tick off a lot of Texans fans. He go by the name of Morocco T.
Oh, you've heard him on our
show. Yeah, we played this clip a couple times.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to go through the highs and then get down to the lows.
Oh, this is going
to
be good.
So this was Morocco T after the Titans beat the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they did it for Miss Amy.
Yeah.
Miss Amy. They mm-hmm. like to call her Miss Amy.
Mm-hmm.
They did it for Miss Amy. And this is him after the win, after they beat the Texans, which I'm still kind of hurt about that.
Yeah.
That loss, by the way.
Ooh, they get back a mother. Yeah, mother.
Look how hype he sound.
Yeah, man.
Chances up and say something.
Oh.
Yeah, I got my Houston hat on today.
It's like that?
You fraudulent ass motherfucker.
Oh, it's like that.
Oh, wow.
I told y'all. that your team is some damn frauds, and now you sitting on this mother looking stupid. Shut my mother all over Houston. Tighten the up. Sit your ass down.
Damn.
Hey, man, you can hear the spit coming out of that man's mouth. You could tell he's slobbing all over himself, man.
He's got
for this
potty
win,
mouth.
Man. Yeah, and this was...
Why you sound like a 10-year-old?
He's got a potty mouth.
Wow, man, it's like that, huh?
Yeah,
so...
For a Week 12 game, huh?
Yeah, man, that was their Super Bowl. I see a couple people say that's their Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, congratulations. Even though them winning hurt me a lot, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But they won it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And... Morocco T is on a podcast called the Titans Colossum podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And this was them reacting to the win, and they was just pumping up Miss Amy,
oh, yeah.
John Lopez girl, Miss Amy.
Miss Amy don't play about these Texans, and last year it already has a bad taste in their mouth, and Hannah's been saying all this stuff. She's been seeing all that. Everybody's been seeing all that. She wouldn't have been happy with a loss here. You know that she came in there. You saw the intro coming up. Calvin and them was like, we got one for Miss Amy. You know,
Miss Amy.
Hey, boys, look at here. Y'all can f*** up the rest of the damn year. I don't give a f***. I'll
okay.
give y'all all sure y'all's did. Incentive bonuses today. Go beat them f***ing Houston Texans. Y'all's got everything you need, but we gonna win this f***ing game, boy. Tighten up, toughen up, get out here and go get the damn W.
That win saved everybody's ass, especially Khaled, Will Levis, and...
Oh, did it?
Anderson. Oh, yeah.
I told you, bro, she don't play about the Texans, man.
Oh, we did it.
Man.
Well, we need an update on that, man.
Yeah, we do.
So, this was Morocco T after... They lost to the Texans.
All right.
I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to guess it don't sound the same. Yeah. I'm guessing the energy is not the same.
We're going to check in a minute, but this is him after the Texans lost and them firing their GM.
Mm. We deserve to get laughed at.
Correct.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody got anything
it is what it is.
About us, any jokes they want to crack, I ain't going to say nothing. I mean, they right. I mean, this is the reason people sit up and laugh at us and don't take us seriously.
Man, he sounds so sad. This don't even sound like the same person.
It does not.
Wait a minute.
It's a stunt double. He got a stunt double.
Yeah. He's like, hey. I mean, is this the same
they
person?
Get back a yeah!
Oh, my gosh.
Why y'all...
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, it was a lot.
We deserve to get laughed.
Hey, man.
It's a lot less MFers. It's a lot less calling people B-words.
Where all that bass at?
I'll say it again. What a shame.
Yeah, it was no bass. And this is them on that same podcast reacting to the firing of the GM. And they was talking about some things we was talking about a couple years ago. Not me personally, but when you start talking about sell the team, you know you at a low point.
I'm going to say this about the whole sell the team thing. I mean, it's her team, but the way the family got together and got Tommy
this
Smith
sad,
out of there, they need to get together and get Amy to up out of there.
What happened to Miss Amy?
Wow.
She's not the only owner.
Hey, what happened to Miss Amy?
That turned.
It was Miss Amy. Now it's get Amy the F out of here.
Like, let's remember how this structure is set up, because everybody keeps selling and everybody keeps hanging on that word. But that's just a hot phrase word that everybody uses. We just want her out of here. And the way this is set up, when Bud died, this team was split up three ways. And the NFL says that can't happen.
This is
you
sad,
have
man.
To have a majority owner. So the other siblings agreed, we'll let Amy be the majority owner. She's not the only owner. At some point, somebody else got to come step up and like, what the f*** are you doing with the team? What the f*** is going on here?
Y'all got the win against the Texans,
man. What happened?
Hey, what happened?
That took a turn.
It was all good just a week ago.
Yeah,
like, what happened?
Man. What happened, man? What happened to Miss Amy?
I thought y'all said the one win was all you needed all year.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Y'all won the Super Bowl.
Saved everybody's job. Hell, they don't even want it to save Amy's job.
Yeah, man. Y'all won the Super Bowl. Y'all rocking the throwbacks, the Oilers, and all that stuff. What happened?
Man.
It's a damn shame what they did to that dog, man.
I'm so glad to not have this. Like, all right, I understand that I you know, sometimes I can lose sight of the overall picture and, you know, get frustrated with, you know, some slight disappointments, not living up to the fullness of the potential. But, oh boy, please slap me if I ever end up like that.
Yeah. Those days hopefully are over, but we've experienced a little bit of that.
I ain't about to throw my hands and hide, man, because it was it was a whole bunch of cow sell the team stuff.
Yep.
So I get it, but Man, it was true that last game when they won against the Texans, that mm-hmm. was in November.
I like when they go, there are other owners. Yeah, but there's only one majority owner.
Titans fan, she ain't going nowhere.
She's going nowhere.
She taking that team to the grave, yes. man. Whoever going to take over after that, they taking that team to the grave. She ain't going nowhere, man. She probably high right now, but she ain't going nowhere.
With an oil derrick on her tombstone, I bet, too.
Oh, 100%. Oh. Right next to her daddy.
That's pretty good odds, actually.
Somebody's asking where they can find these videos online. You got them on your Twitter?
I'll repost one. I retweeted one of them at some point this week. But, Titans Colossum Podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they actually do a pretty good job just with their content and stuff like that, but they hate Houston.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of back and forth between them. So
hate y'all back, baby.
That's
right. Yeah, 100%, right. man. It's a damn shame what they did to that dog. We gonna get to some other news, man. So I don't know if you guys are fans of the show, one of the classic shows, Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
I respect its greatness.
But you haven't seen it?
No.
I totally understand.
I will say I've seen it in like passing, like when I had a roommate had would have it on. You know how you kind of see bits and parts.
Yeah. So you kind of understand what's going on.
Oh yeah,
with
for
this.
Sure, for sure.
So Walter White, the home from Breaking Bad is on the market. So this house is at Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it is listed at $4 million. That little old ranch-style house is $4 million, according to Zillow. But the estimate market value of that ranch-style home is $205,000.
Well,
who the hell is going to buy that house for $4
million,
man?
Just someone who wants to say they have it and have more money than sense.
That house didn't look all that in the show.
Yeah,
but it's not about the house. It's about the sentimentality of the house.
Man, that is crazy.
Yeah, it's
man.
Just rich people saying, you know whose house this is.
This is just the
you
next.
You know what this is, right?
Yeah, this is the next level of the collectible, right? Yeah, it's just a level collectible.
Didn't the Brady Bunch house sell for a lot of money?
I have no idea.
I think so. But that was a nice house, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch the show, that was actually an all right house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I never looked at Breaking Bad and looked at that house like, you know, I can see myself.
Right.
Nah, that ain't no cool house. But I wanted to ask y'all this. What's a house, a fictional house that you would love to buy? Like, if you had the chance, any fictional type of house? Because I know when I was in Cali, I went to Cali on vacation a couple years ago. And I went past the house from Friday.
All right.
Oh, cool.
And they actually had the people who was living in that house was very nice enough to like set up a little signs and all that stuff. But they also said, hey, respect, we still live here.
I got a recent one and a Wayback Machine one. The recent one, I love Only Murders in the Building.
Okay.
I'd like to have one of those New York, Manhattan, old building.
Apartments
from Only
like,
Murders.
Like a walk-up or something.
They're cool. They have the big gothic, you know, stuff out front and all that. And then Wayback Machine, Animal House. You know, the frat house. Yeah, from Animal
this
House.
This man want a frat house.
Yeah.
I could not. Shout out to you.
I'm over here thinking about the house on Fresh Prince.
Oh, there's some good.
That's a good one.
That was the first one I thought of, and a lot of people on the text line came with. I think the right answer... As much of an answer can be right from the 979. I don't. Does this count? Does it have to be an actual house? They said Iron Man's house, like the Malibu kind of look that, over on that. That was
that count. I would count that.
The one that I thought of immediately, I got a little uncomfortable, but some other people on the Twitch, on the text line, I think on the YouTube as well, brought this up. The Huxtable Brownstone.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
from
a good
Cosby
one.
The Cosby Show.
Yeah, because like, it's in Philly, right?
No. It's in Brooklyn. Is it Brooklyn? No.
New York?
It's in New York
somewhere.
No,
it's somewhere.
In New York. I don't think it's Brooklyn.
No. Oh, you know what? Actually. They went to school. Somebody went to school in Philly. That's where.
No, not Philly. They went to school in Virginia. That's a different world.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. I thought somebody went to school.
There might be a Philly connection.
Or maybe one of the daughters went to Philly. What was the one that got
it? Oh, it was the spinoff.
Yeah.
The spinoff was in Virginia. That was Hillman. I think the actual... These are the things that I use my brain for. I think what you might be thinking is that Bill Cosby himself went to Temple.
Yeah, that's in Philly.
Which is in Philly.
Okay,
maybe.
So,
T-Mill says the Home Alone house.
Yeah, I thought about
that's
that
a good one. That's a big old house.
That's a big old house.
I think that Chicago, one might maybe. Be on the market, too.
Oh, yeah.
That one might be on the market.
Sanford and Son house, hilarious. Full house from San Francisco house, full house.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I do wonder, though. Yeah.
Like, because that house is still there, too.
Yes, it is.
But you could take a picture where that hill was at. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some of these houses, like, you're really just getting the facade, because the interior of the house is completely different than the sets that they have.
Yeah.
And that one, I'm pretty sure that house is a lot smaller than it appears.
Yeah, because I think they use the outside of the house, but they film in like LA or something like that. So, yeah.
Adam's family house comes in. Bruce Wayne's mansion. Is there an actual house that had like that they used?
They had to have, right? Because they, I mean, for the movie I'm talking about. Yeah.
What about the house on Coming to America? You actually didn't see the outside of the house, which is crazy, but...
That's what I'm trying to remember. Which house? The one in Zamunda? Or?
Yeah, the one in Zamunda.
Oh, yeah, the palace? Yeah, I don't think we call that a house.
With the elephants walking around?
Right. There was somebody talked about Tony Soprano's mansion.
Jersey?
Out in Jersey. Yeah. I was like, do I really want to live in Jersey? With no, all due respect to Jersey. Mm-hmm. I know that Sean has been out to that house.
He does that all the time.
I think that's his bag.
Yeah.
Batcave, Soprano House, Amityville Horror House in Amityville.
Oh, hell no. I'm not.
Nothing from the horror movies for you?
No. Hell to the no.
Amityville Horror, no thank you.
Nah. It start off just like a typical horror movie.
Man, I'm looking at the Breaking Bad house now. That is.
$4 million. Ain't
nothing.
Man, what sucker they going to get for that?
Yeah. Oh, shout out to the folks who said, Cliff also went to Temple as a character. So, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. But on the text line, as you guys are flooding in. Yes, Cosby House was Upper West Side. Thank you. Actual house is in Brooklyn. Cool. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn Heights, rather. And I've lost it. There's so many texts that came in. Yellowstone Lodge came up. Someone said South Fork from Dallas. 89 Batman Manor is a real place, apparently.
Hmm.
And then also, I think this person is wrong. They said the Home Alone house is not a real house. It was built in a gym for the movie. The exterior.
Outside look of it. Yeah, but he's right.
I'm looking at it.
They had to build the inside where they shot the inside.
But there is an actual house that they used. It's a house, It's in Winnetka, Illinois.
Yeah, and I think the inside is a little smaller, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want the Family Matters house in North Plains. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Figgy's Mixtape, 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. Hit him up at the Figgy Fig on social media if there's anything that you want to see in these things. And let's see, Sean Pendergast, of course, adding in the Sopranos house and Cosby's in real life. He went to Kent Temple. So thank you for confirming what I was thinking. All right, coming up next, we're about ready to hand it off to the fellas, Clinton Ron, where I want to get their take on drinking milk and such, but also you have a few things that you think you would like to see from CJ Stroud in this game.
I do.
We'll talk about that next.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, you are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 for just a little bit longer on this Wednesday. I was about to say Tuesday, and then I was about to say Thursday. I don't know what day
you're
it
close.
Is. Eventually, I just bracketed it in. Eventually, I worked my way to it.
Hump day.
That is what some people call it.
Mm-hmm.
That is what some people call it. We're working our way to a must win game.
It
on,
is a must
on
win
Saturday.
I'm not gonna pass judgment.
Chargers in town to face off against the Texans, and look, really excited for this one. And the guys are back at practice. I don't think I saw very much outside of that. I know Danico Autry returned to practice. John Mechie also returned to practice. Both of those, at least I was excited about seeing both of those because for me, John Mechie, like, he's become more valuable, more important. He's one of the probably three guys that I feel comfortable in routes where, like, hey, CJ Stroud has
been able to
get the ball to. Obviously, Nico Collins at a high level.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him throw to Deontay Johnson in the game yet, but I still feel a level of confidence with him, the route running that he possesses. Mm-hmm. And then Mechie has seemed to have a little bit of a rapport, even though it hasn't come out to a large degree.
Little bit.
So, good to see him practicing. And, of course, Danico Autry, just, hey, you want your pass rush as full of a compliment as possible. But, that practicing again for the second and last practice before they take on the Chargers. We'll hear from the coach to the team. In fact, today is their Thursday, so we'll hear from coordinators, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun as well. But CJ Stroud is, you know, out of practice, looking good. It feels like it's going to largely fall on him, as all football games seem to in the modern NFL. What are some things that you're hoping to see from CJ?
Yeah, so we were talking earlier, really at the start of the show, about how this could, at least in the short term, be like a defining game for CJ Stroud. Because if he doesn't have a good game, if things don't go well, that's all we're going to be talking about. What happened in 2024? You know, can he respond? Is it the coordinator? Is it this or that or whatever? So I actually kind of started thinking, all right, so why might we get the good CJ, for lack of a better way to put it? And why might we not?
Okay.
So you want the why we might not or the why we might?
Let's start with the negative and finish out with a triumphant Rocky Stairs type. You know.
Okay. Hands above the head.
Exactly.
So why we might not get CJ, the good CJ, as I'm putting it, in this game.
You can actively boo this man at this point of the program.
Feel free to boo me.
Mm-hmm.
That was one series versus Tennessee, man.
That is correct.
That was one series. I don't know that it can erase all the scars that he's wearing from this season.
No, especially because the scars feel like they are also inflicted because of, hey, pass protection has fallen, and I mean, the Baltimore Ravens game felt like in some ways it was a point that opened my eyes to the idea, oh, this might be more than just like, hey, he's missing his receivers, because there's instances where, hey, you're blocking up pretty well, like the protection is actually there, and he's still missing guys. Like, that felt like, oh, this is a real issue. This is a bigger issue, and it's why I really needed to see something outside of that, something away from that, something where he's actually hitting where he needs the football needs to go. And it does feel like fatigue might have factored into that a decent amount as well, in that, you know, that stretch, the 3 games in 11 days, what have you. But yeah, man, I understand what you're talking about. Like, there's the possibility that this is this season-long trial and tribulation that he's been going through, and dealing with, you know, the pressure, and dealing with the added responsibility, and dealing with, you know, trying to avoid sacks, that could still be weighing on him and could pop back up as soon as you're facing a team that maybe is possible with Khalil Mack and with Joey Bosa. I had to make sure I got the right one coming after him.
So before the guys get in here, I've got 4 why we might not get that CJ and 4 why, why we might.
Let me let you speed run them.
No. So let me just run through them.
Speed run them.
And then, you know, certainly weigh in at the end. So that's one why we might not. Another one why we might not. You know, Shane Day was the senior offensive assistant for the Houston Texans last year. He was sort of the older, not too old, but the older guy that kind of helped CJ Stroud have an incredible rookie year. He is now the quarterback's coach for the Los Angeles Chargers and Justin Herbert. I'm not saying that that's the reason. What I am saying is he's familiar, and he was a factor that's gone. Number 3, this is just a Texans team that flat out, outside of Buffalo, has not stepped up against good teams.
That is true.
They just haven't. And number 4, that's why I was kind of hedging a little bit when you talked about John Metchie. I don't disrespect him. Obviously, incredible respect for him on a number of levels. But let's be honest, we might be expecting too much from these receivers. It's Nico Collins. Maybe Deontay Johnson, but that's a big maybe.
Without a level of rapport, right? I mean, you have, 2 weeks of practice?
Yeah. So that's 4 reasons might not. Now let's get to the good part.
Goods.
Why we might see the good CJ. It's been harder to recognize this year. There have been moments, but he really is a gamer. CJ Stroud. Like you can go back to Ohio State. Everybody else talked about the Georgia game. Go back to the Browns game that we've referenced a couple of times today. Couple of big moments, big games last year in very meaningful and important games. Colts to end the season and clinch the division, for example. The dude is a gamer.
Right.
And this is a game. Number 2, this version of the offensive line is probably the most confidence that CJ Stroud's had playing behind it. Number 3.
Sure would hope so.
Any semblance of a productive Joe Mixon changes everything better
Agree.
For CJ Stroud.
Agree.
And number 4, and I've kind of hinted at this a little bit, not because I necessarily know anything, but I really feel like D'Amico Ryans has gone into the offensive room in recent weeks and said, "Bobby, this is what we're doing." I think he's kind of taking the you know, some of the you know, twists and turns and things about this offense and saying, throw those in the trash, do this. I think he wants to run the ball. I think that's why they've been so adamant about the offensive line. And I think he's going to try to rely on his defense.
And I hope you're right. Like that, that feels like what a head coach should do in, in these instances. Once it comes down to it, hey, as the leader of this thing, as the man who ultimately all this falls back upon, when it comes down to it, when we absolutely need it, hey, let me make sure that I am adding some parameters to help you be your best version of yourself in a way that maybe you cannot or have not been able to do. And an additional one. CJ and his Texans, apparently, if they drank their milk.
They got to drink their milk.
If they drank their milk.
They have to
drink their milk. It'll come out. I still can't believe.
I can't believe that you can't believe. I can't believe that you were so shocked. Like, you have teenage boys, and Ron might be getting into this a little bit now with his younger kids.
Yeah, as Ron of The Drive is stepping into the studio, Clint will join us here shortly.
My boys and my daughter drank milk, but my two boys were the main ones. We would go through 4 gallons of milk a week.
Good God.
And then the text board blew up, said, yep, you're right. Yep, you're right. And Reggie was like, really?
Yeah, I just I did not realize that people were out here outside of like very special cases. Drink milk. Just drinking milk straight.
We don't drink milk.
Clint.
Well, you better.
I need your help here.
We don't drink milk.
As somebody who was a strapping young man is now a strapping older man, I guess. I don't know the right way to
say it. Very good. 47, I was like, it. Beats the alternative.
Yeah, absolutely. Were you out here just drinking milk, just like the glasses of milk straight up?
No, I did not start drinking milk until recently because my daughters do every morning. So I do a little bit of milk in a glass. Too, just because they're drinking milk and it happens, man. To be there, and I've got it out.
I have never been a milk fan.
I can't just have forever,
but I guess I'm not. I guess it's
you just ain't rock with it.
I kind of am. No, I've never, like, if it's milk, it may be some cereal with it or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that ain't, and we don't, and our kids don't. We don't. That's not something that we have on tap a lot. Man. We got milk in there to cook with.
Mentioned earlier, I think it was.
I was Jim Harbaugh. We were talking about how Jim Harbaugh is a
supreme. He looked like he drank a lot.
He does.
Of milk.
He does. So, he's huge into milk.
Yeah, not chocolate.
Yeah, Reggie was a little surprised that he drank and is so big into milk. And I said, dude, my kids drank, again, 4 gallons a week. When they were teenagers in middle school.
And I understand, kids be eating cereal.
No, just milk.
Making oat.
Milk said, you're surprised, especially people that have kids that age. They go through, and the text board, you would have thought, I don't know what, but like dozens upon dozens upon dozens of texts. Yep, all my kids, milk, you know, a gallon a week or a gallon every 2 days.
That's what I was going to say, man. I'm with the whole idea that it's weird for milk to be around that much. But whenever I was a kid, dude, I drank milk like with every dinner.
Yes.
Steak dinner, milk.
I never drank milk.
Yeah. Someone is on the text line talking about they were drinking milk with every meal, including spaghetti.
Seriously.
You know what I drank? Kool-Aid.
Yeah, we had a lot of juice.
I love me some juice.
Kool-Aid. Sunny D.
Or drink if I can't get juice.
I'm sensing the two Americas here, boys.
This might be two Americas too, but we drank a lot.
It felt like a two Americas for a moment.
Like my man said, milk for dinner.
Yeah.
When the 90s, like, I mean, too, like, they promoted milk like the most healthy thing you could ever put in your body.
Not like out of a bottle. Once I stopped drinking out of a bottle, I wasn't thinking about milk. Chocolate milk was all right.
That's for school.
That was if juice was gone.
Exactly.
Yeah. I ain't got nothing. I ain't drinking no water.
You know my morning go-to is, guys?
What's that?
Coors Light.
Fresh grapefruit. Fresh grapefruit juice.
Good, healthy.
That's a good look. Yeah. That's a good look. I always felt like an old person doing it, but it was a good
look. Come on over to the old side, bud.
My favorite cereal is Raisin Bran Crunch. You don't have to convince me of nothing. I'm there.
Hey.
I'm on the old side.
Hey, so. you know there's nothing more attractive than the young old guys mature and thinks about things
that,
Rich.
I agree.
Look, better all that, man. Own it, bro.
Look, man, people used to say that I was mature when I was young, and it was only until I was older that I realized, oh, y'all were calling me lame. And with that, In the Loop is done for this Wednesday. We hand it off to these fine folks. You're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM, HD2 Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, The Drive is live.